stay locked in and fully loaded.
Ashanti Radio
and Verkay Radio.
They said we couldn't do it,
but we global now, worldwide. Boom, in your face. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Bigger than, hip-hop. Yeah. Back in the days, we used to get this money all type of ways. Things change, but we can't stop. Every boy and girl knows hip-hop changed the world, but now it's bigger than hip-hop. Back in the days, we used to get this money all type of ways. Things change, but we can't stop. Every boy and girl knows hip-hop changed the world, but now it's bigger than
hip-hop.
Breakfast is over. You've been sleeping all day. I know you're hungry. Get you a plate. It's dinner time now.
One thing's for certain, two things for sure. Cut you, got you on the floor. Open your mind now, let's explore. What you think all the guests is for? It's not a game, we ain't playing. Baby doll, sing some more while I check the score. We here now.
Yo, Jinx, man, we gotta find somebody that's down for hers, man. All these girls sipping, man. Who you think fit the category?
It's me, the brand new intelligent black woman, Y-O-Y-O, which is yo-yo. But I'm about to be played like I was made by Mattel. But this yo-yo was made by woman and male. I'm all about uprising, uplifting the woman. But I are superior to handle any male, any time, any rock, any flow, and any show. And if you ask my producers, they'll reply, no.
I'm
night with my yo-yo.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another edition of It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. I'm your host, Jeff Hodges, with your girl.
What's going on? It's me, Kia Baby Doll Jeffries, in the building.
You know where we at, those higher infinite power, healing our people type conversations with brilliant black minds. And guess what? Tonight is no different. Tonight we got a real special lineup for you. And in the building, we're really excited about our guest sitting here with us, Atlanta's own Jay Stone, here to talk about a whole lot what he's doing
up,
with the
what's
youth.
Up, what's good, up, fam? What's up? What's going on, man?
All right. Real pleasure and honor to have you to be here. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop.
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, just share a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience something about yourself.
I'm a barber by trade.
No doubt.
I'm a father of five. I consider myself to be decent. You know what I mean? I don't do much, man. You know, just try to walk in purpose pretty much.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Shout out to our mutual friend there, Mr. Tarouk.
That's one of my good clients, man. No, yeah, real cool brother.
We appreciate that. And he told us you'd be a perfect fit over in the barbershop getting it in with the youth.
So
what's that like and what's all that about?
Well, I'm part of a organization called Urban Specialists, man, and we have a 3-I method. It's we invade, we intrude, we institute. So basically, our focus is to curve destructive behavior in urban communities. Mm-hmm. Even like with gun violence, pretty much that's our focus, gun violence.
Right.
So that's what we do, and we in the metropolitan high schools or whatnot around the Atlanta metropolitan.
Yeah. And having the barbershop give you a nice introduction.
That's another platform.
Okay. So with this platform, with your organization, talk about more of what you do and where people can find you. Definitely let them know that.
Like I say, we it's more of a mentorship, outreach program. Well, we just try to build the youth.
Mm-hmm.
Reach one, teach one.
Empower.
What gave you to want to do this? I read that you actually from Columbus.
I was born in Columbia, Tennessee.
Oh, Columbia, Tennessee.
Yeah,
shout out to Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a little country town there, though. I don't really know much about it.
Okay, so you were raised here?
No, I was raised in Chicago, between Chicago and Kentucky.
Okay, so talk about that a little bit. It says here you lost your dad. Give us a little bit background on that.
Well, he wasn't my biological father. He was just the man that raised me. He met my mother when I was like 3 years old. My little brother, he really couldn't even talk. So he raised me. He pretty much the only man I ever called daddy my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he passed away?
Yeah, he died in 2004 from a drug overdose. He was, he was a drug user.
Oh, wow. Okay. So is that part of like how... I don't know. I was reading your bio.
is that part of how I'm into what I'm into.
Yeah.
That's part of it, that's part of the story. But I think it was already in me before then.
It was in you before then, right?
Okay. It just took time and situations to present themselves for me to really say. A lot of times when we're young, we don't realize what we got going on because of the youth.
No doubt.
Youthfulness that we we possess.
So by your dad, man that raised you, passing away, who were your other male influences after that?
I mean, guys in the neighborhood,
Were these good or bad or both?
I mean, I believe everybody got good in them,
mm-hmm.
But we just choose to make bad decisions at times. Some be out of survival and some just be out of ignorance. Whatever the case is for each individual, per se.
What's the age group you typically work with?
Me personally, I like to work with from 5 on up to 21, 22. Because I believe they're still moldable. They're still impressionable. Right, you know, I think, now I'm not discluding anybody above that age or criteria, but I think those people, they kind of got their mind made up with what they really want to do, and this is more of a what can you do for me type of situation.
Okay, okay. That's what's up. So what was the inspiration as far as, you know, coming from, you know, the streets and all that, and then now having your shop and then having, you know, the organization work? What was the inspiration making you want to, you know, definitely present to them Kings so they can definitely grow into Kings?
Man, just wanting to change, the desire to change. I think we all want to change, but I don't think a lot of us know how to change.
How, right?
You know what I'm saying? And I think I was fortunate enough, you know, and I was blessed to have discernment to see certain things. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying like I'm just perfect or nothing, but
nah, not at all.
I can pick up on certain things. You know what I mean?
So when you talking with the young men in particular, what's some of the needs they talking about? Like, what's their concerns?
A lot of them, bro, they a lot of them, they really just talk about financial issues, man.
And you definitely get it in with them on that financial literacy.
Yeah, and that's important because that's what really killed the urban black community, black and brown, or even white for that matter. You know what I'm saying? Because money don't see no color. You know what I'm saying? So. That's very important because coming from urban communities and coming from black communities, we tend to spend more, and that dates all the way back to the enslavement of our ancestors.
No doubt. Definitely need that literacy, know how to break it down.
So when did you make the connection between the barbershop and knowing that you could help the youth from there? Like what?
The barbershop was just a platform. That was just a platform for me to meet certain people that was doing certain things in life and just connected. But I always had a desire to, you know, for the youth. Like, I got 5 kids.
Okay.
And I coach football. So I've been coaching my oldest son since he was, like, 4 years old. And it's just like, the kids always gravitate towards me, so I'm figured that was what it was.
No doubt. Give them that name of that organization again and where they can find you.
Urban Specialists, and they can find us at urbanspecialists.org if you know you want to get part of the movement or just see what's going on. Holler at the shout out to the founder down in Dallas, Bishop Omar Jawa.
Okay.
I probably butchered his last name, man. I always have a hard time pronouncing. But yeah, shout out to the Texas family.
Okay.
Shout out to the Texas
family. No doubt.
They'll be up here Monday, man.
Oh, y'all got something going on Monday?
Yeah, we finna institute a new program.
Here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely reach back out. Yeah, we wanna keep
Dallas is Dallas, that's the home base.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Definitely,
so
definitely.
We got some folks connected, man, and we just trying to get out here and empower, man, in any way.
All day, yo. That's what it's all about. Yeah. We created this platform talking about empowerment, transformation, and changing your thinking. So I'm with you. We definitely got to link up on the outside world and definitely do some things together, you know?
Yes, sir.
Give them that social media. Let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on my personal social media, J.Stone, S-T-O-N-E, P-413. That's where you can find me.
That's what's up. Y'all heard it first right here. It's bigger than hip-hop.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Hey, yo, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Hey, man, it's been an honor and a pleasure, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
No doubt.
Thank you.
What's up, Skybox? Hey, man. It's bigger than hip-hop. Breakfast is over. It's killing time, baby.
Yo, what's up? This is Queen Latif in the house. Definitely representing Jersey on the love. Cooling in Cali, shooting, living single, but damn, I miss home.
Forget New Jersey. I can't forget New Jersey.
Jersey's finest self. Set it off, get him up on my own, cause Jersey's what I think about when I think of home.
Now back to our show with Jeff Holdridge and Kia Jeffries.
And we back. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. Glad to be back with you guys again. The building, as always, we bringing y'all them special guests. And we want to thank our guest that just was with us earlier, Jay Stone. Y'all heard him. Check him out. Follow him. Urban Specialist. Y'all heard what they doing over there with IU. Yes. Definitely check them out over there at .org. In the building with us right now, our second guest I'm really excited about, will be our Mr. Author, screenwriter, playwright, documentary filmmaker, also fashion designer, storyboard artist, Mr. Harry Soulful. What's going on, man?
Good, good.
I'm going to need you to come up a little closer, get up on that mic.
Pleasure to be here.
Definitely an honor to have you. Reached out and share some things. You're doing some big things over there, and we want to let the audience know a little bit about you. So before we get started, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a native of Alabama. My childhood was the ordinary, like most black males growing up in North America. However, mine was distracted about the age of 10 when I was sexually abused by a relative, and then the second time by a neighbor. And having experienced that, I found I found myself experiencing a roller coaster ride. And as a teenager, it was ups and downs.
Right, right.
And about the age of 19, I ended up catching a felonious case involving shooting. I was sentenced to 25 years. I served 12 and a half from age 19 to 32. But prior to going into the system, I was in the news, you know, for writing.
Right.
That's my passion.
Right, right.
I've always had this mentality that I want to write what I would be willing to read.
Indeed.
Whatever I would read, that's what I want to write. So I've experienced the live news coverage, things of that nature. But after going in, serving at 12 and a half years, it was a roller coaster.
I bet.
It was an environment that you can't be prepared for. It was an environment that, you know, a lot of people have a tendency to shun from the word hate, but hate was necessary in that kind of environment.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
In the sense that had I started loving certain individuals, I would have become a victim. So you have to hate the environment in order to come outside that environment.
Yes.
People ask me all the time, it's like, how did you maintain? Well, I hated the environment. When you got a 6'7" man run through the dorm with a supersized t-shirt on with Kool-Aid on his lips, I have no issue with the LGBTQ community. Because being in that kind of environment, they are there. You know, the gays, they are there. So I have no issue with them. When you're dealing with a situation where the administration condone weakness, men not standing up on their toes, it's kind of challenging. And so, like, being in that kind of environment for 12 and a half years, it tests you.
But not only did it test you, it definitely helped you bring out your creativity. You wrote several books.
Actually, it honed my creativity because prior to going to prison, I was already, like I said, already in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even as, like, 17 years of age, I was, like, doing a live interview about a book that I had wrote called Avalon Kids, in which I had got two book contracts, I turned them down because even as a teenager, I had the common sense, the audacity to sit down with an attorney and ask him, like, look over this contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney that I sat down with, so, like, they're gonna turn you into a literary mule.
Wow. Talk about literary. What after writing several books, does literary success look like to you?
For me, speaking as an individual, I don't care to be popular among people. My objective is those who cross my material. It's like today, I crossed two Latino individuals, male and female. They was like, we engaged, you know, conversation. And I began to speak on some things and it sparked their interest. And while I'm talking to them, male, female, Latinas, they on their phone, like ordering from Amazon. So it's like my objective is to connect with those people that are necessary to connect with, to inspire. And that's who I write for, ordinary people. It's never been to stand shoulder to shoulder with a Denzel Washington. My objective is to inspire people, ordinary people. So that's why I write.
And you brought a book with you today. Tell us a little bit about that.
This book is, when I was doing that, that time, I was probably working on like 11 years in prison. I was about to be paroled out. And I was being awakened out of my sleep.
When black when boys I was left in the dark.
Being awakened out of my sleep, it was like, tell your story, tell your story. And in my mind, it's like, you know, you think about Hollywood, you think about the industry, the film industry in North America, it's violence, it's sex, and it's drugs. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I was like, who in the hell want to hear about a black boy being sexually abused? And I was sexually abused at the age of 10 by two males,
right.
Once by a relative and once by a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like suppressed it. And it's like every other week it seemed like I was being waking out of my sleep, tell your story.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how I started telling my story. I took a piece of paper and I dated it from like 1976 to 1986 and from 1986 to 1996. And between 76 and 86, I began to write down anything that inspired me, injured me,
mm-hmm.
or inspired me, you know? And then from 86 to 96, because I left the streets in 1996.
Okay.
I was 19 at the time.
Okay.
So anything from 86 to 96, anything that inspired me, humored me, whatever, that's what I wrote. And those brainstorms turned into paragraphs, and those paragraphs turned into chapters. So that's how I wrote my story. But the objective is, when you look at the term, when black boys are left in the dark, there's a lot of things that black males are left in the dark about. You know, you take the average girl, and it has nothing to do with ethnicities. The average girl, no matter what her nationality, ethnicity, whatever it is, girls have a tendency to be presented with baby dolls. They're looking at baby, that lifeless baby doll, her eyes, and they care for that.
Mm.
Change her diaper. Put that winter sweater on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like y'all have toys that automatically, like, put y'all in this mind frame to nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with boys, we got toys, boats and shit.
Can't curse.
Excuse me. Trucks, things of that nature.
Guns.
Exactly. So what I had learned was, you know, looking back at things that I had experienced and taking the route that I took for as my writing, I said, I got to tell my story in my own way. That's what it boiled down to. Tell my story in my own way and not try to meet anybody's literary standards.
So how many books you wrote total?
Man, I got a new one out, and it's crazy because the setting is in Atlanta, but it's about 10 books.
10 books.
Two for juveniles.
Tell them where they can find your books at.
Amazon. You put me up, Harry, like Dirty Harry, Pretty Harry, whatever Harry you know. Sappho. S-A-F-F is in flag, O-L-D, Junior. You Google me, you pull up a lot of my material.
No
documentary
doubt.
Films as well.
And we're going to get into that. Let's talk about that art, man. You have some interesting art pieces laid out there, and let them know about that. Talk about
which
that.
Piece sparked your
one
interest?
In particular that caught my attention is the Waiting on Jesus piece, but you had several.
It's a sad state, man, for minorities. I mean, we waiting. And what compelled me to do that piece, what happened was I had got somewhat like disgruntled at how a lot of people looking for like a successful marriage life, successful family life, a successful career. And people get into this mind frame, well, I'm just going to let go, and I'm going to let God. I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let God. And it's like, and you see, when that piece, I mentioned that you have a lot of people who say, you know what God put together, let no man take his under. They quote that.
Mm.
And a lot of people will attribute God to picking their mate. And within 6 months to 9 months to a year and a half, it's like they're divorced. And what me growing up in the South, looking at how people let go and let God, it redeemed them or it excluded the responsibility that you got to be responsible for who you get involved with.
Talk about it.
And that's sad when you have people who say, I'm just going to let go. I know people who let go. You know, I'm just going to put my son in God's hand. Mm. I'm going to put my daughter in God's hand. Mm. And that son is dead. That daughter got HIV right now. So we got to take like an active role. And damn how your son would take it. Damn how your daughter would take it.
No curse.
Mm. Damn is like a curse word up in here in Atlanta in 2019.
So talk about the movies, man. You doing the movies over there pretty big.
Well, three documentary films.
Yeah, that's major. Talk about them.
One documentary film is called Shoot Without a Closet.
Mm.
After coming out of prison, nobody would hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those type guys, I like to utilize my time wisely. Mm-hmm. So when nobody hiring me, I could spend a week out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a week out on the streets as a homeless person to experience the homeless epidemic. And in doing so, none of the people that I met were from my geographic location.
Mm-hmm.
I met a Mexican from Mexico. I met an African-American from Meridian, Mississippi. I met a Caucasian family of five who lost their house in a house fire. I met another Caucasian male who came up from Tampa. It's just like a variety of mm-hmm. people. One is called Hijacked Childhood, which I kind of like spotlight sexual abuse among black boys
right.
in the African-American community. And then one is called The Untold Story of Harry Safo, which I kind of like spotlight, you know, the prison epidemic, you know, what led me to prison.
Mm-hmm.
What that, you know, roller coaster ride was like. So it's three documentary films: Shoes Without a Closet, Hijacked Childhood, and The Untold Story of Harry Safo. You can see in part on YouTube.
Got you.
Because my objective was never to capitalize, but to inform people.
Got you. And I definitely checked them out.
So what does you have so much going on? What does success mean to you?
From a male perspective.
From your perspective.
Man perspective, to be able to have ties to your immediate family and then be building on a new family involving a new woman, and if she come with baggage, if she come with children from another relationship, to build on that. That's what it all matters, because at some point I'm going to expire. I know this. And my perception of success is, like I said, strong ties to where I come from,
mm-hmm.
and then building on what I have, you know, present day. A lot of the things that I have done has not been for capital gain.
No, you said that, yeah.
Yeah, real talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how many people, I was thinking of like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, like divorcing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like one of the couples that I looked up to.
Wow.
Because they was international couple.
Right.
They was like adopting children from other countries.
Right.
And
right.
I looked up to them. So it's like, damn, y'all divorced? Excuse me. Y'all are like divorced? So what matters is where you come from, keeping them strong ties, and whoever you're acquainted with, you're involved with, you engage with, strengthen that relationship. Because speaking for us, that black family's like damn near obsolete.
I want to go back to being molested and your experience. Did you ever face your molesters?
One, I haven't crossed paths with. Another was a relative, and they had a family reunion. And he and I was standing, the distance between me and him was like...
But you never freed yourself, taking your power back?
It's ironic that you would even pose that such a question, because when I was in prison, I think I was working on 11 years, and the man asked me, he said, how do you walk through this compound with your head up?
Mm.
And I said, I got my self-esteem back.
Mm-hmm.
And upon being paroled in 2008, November 2008, after crossing paths with this individual, by that time I had already shared my story not only with the public, but I had stood up even in prison compound level fours and shared my story as well.
Mm.
I was responsible for my healing. I was a victim. I didn't participate. I was a victim. However, as a victim, I can't keep being a victim.
Right.
I have to at some point find out, how do I heal from this? How do I bounce back? And once I gathered, you know, embrace my healing, that's what matters. But yeah, that one individual, we was like in the same place, like the distance between me and him was me to you.
And
we was, nah. When you heal, when you really, really heal, you don't bounce back on those kind of like emotions.
You know what? I beg to differ, because I too was molested by a woman and a man as a child, and I took my power back. And let me tell you something. That's a refreshing, renewing feeling. You don't carry that no more. You put that back on that person. You let them know you know what they did to you as a child. And that person couldn't do nothing but just stare like deer in headlights.
Let me say this. When I did the documentary film, Hijacked Childhood, it created a divide between my family. I don't have to approach my sodomizer, my abuser.
Not that you have to. I'm telling you, it's experience. It's freeing.
But I have my own experience. Okay. I don't have to. I didn't have to approach mine.
Right.
What I did was I shared mine with the public. This is, I'm a shooter. I went to prison for shooting somebody. People want to know, why are you so angry? What made you lift the firearm and shoot somebody above the waist? And my objective was to reconcile with society, right, not him. And in doing so, it created a divide between my family. I don't owe my abuser nothing. I don't have to look him in the face. I don't have to ridicule him. I don't have to point no finger. I don't owe you no time. What I did was I proceeded with my life. I'm not finna give you that kind of time. He that renders power to whomsoever, they do it. It was an individual healing process for me. And what I was compelled to do, you stand up in this level 4 yard, his prison yard, you share your story, and upon being released, don't do to him what you capable of doing and what you did to the last individual. That's the healing process. There's a lot of people, they talk about, I forgive, but they still be like,
right.
See, people don't understand that when you unforgiving, it's the equivalence of like putting somebody in prison. When you don't forgive somebody, it's like, okay, I'm holding you to that. What is a holding? That's what a holding cell is. You hold. I'm still holding you accountable. Real forgiveness is like, man, I'm gonna keep it moving.
Yeah, because you forgiving that person, any foot of them is for you.
Already,
you freeing yourself
straight like that.
Yeah, you don't want to carry that burden. Right. Let them know where they can find you at and where they can get them books again.
Harry Sappho Jr., Harry. Saffold, Saffold. I'm on Facebook, Harry Saffold Jr. Let me say this. For Atlanta, I got a stage play called Her
Okay,
Cup.
Okay.
I got a stage play. I'm looking for some serious actors.
Y'all hear that?
Okay.
Y'all hear that?
It's called Her Cup Runneth Over. Her Cup Runneth Over. I need about 3 Caucasian males. Can I post it? Do I have liberty to post it?
Absolutely.
I'll do that. And that's y'all. I mean, that's you. I'll sign it. Take pit. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Contribute that. But yeah, Harry Sappho Jr. Facebook.
Got it.
That's all I'm utilizing right now.
Hey man, it's definitely been an honor and a pleasure, and I wish you nothing but continued success.
Yeah, I wish you success too, bro. I sure look up to you, man.
Appreciate
you. And you too, madam.
Thank you so much.
It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. We're going to take a quick commercial break. That's our very special guest, Harry Sappho. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Roxy and Shantae, and I just want you to know it's Bigger Than Hip Hop, so stay tuned.
It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio presents A Moment in Hip Hop History. With Mocha Brown.
The most popular DJ in ATL has always been Greg Street. You hear it's 6 o'clock, it's time for Street to Rock.
Greg Street.
You know what time it is.
It's 6 o'clock, turn to Greg Street. It's 6 o'clock, turn to Greg Street.
I see you, party.
It's 6 o'clock, turn to Greg Street.
Greg Pope was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He moved to Atlanta in the early 90s and began DJing for V103. Greg Street is a veteran in hip-hop and broadcast, being one of the pioneer DJs in ATL to support hip-hop artists. Street even produced a few rap albums of his own.
It's time to have a good day.
I got up this morning, and I said I'm going to do something for the United Streets of America. So I got
known for his many philanthropic efforts and huge involvement in the community, Greg Street was in the 2019 edition of the Source Magazine's annual Power 30 list, or rating. It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio Salute, Greg Street. This is Mocha Brown with your moment in hip hop.
Yeah. Streets of sound and effect. I knows. Big time. Sunny boy. The fabulous O&E and O&E. 20 MAD. Sons of Funk.
You're listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
Hey, and we back in the building. What's up, everybody? All y'all out there on the live. How y'all doing? Y'all enjoying the show? That's what's up. All y'all out here in the internet world, all out in our iHeart, Beasley Media. What's going on, everybody? Hope y'all checked out all our guests. Go check out their books. Go check out their documentaries. They're doing big things.
Why don't you tell them about the big things you got going on?
Oh, check you out. May 11th, it's going down, Atlanta. Y'all better come through. It's going down. Dish Out Lounge in Stone Mountain off of Memorial Drive. Have my very first book signing. Real excited. Hope y'all can join us. Gonna have some performance by this young lady sitting here next to me doing her new thing with her new single Stalker. So y'all come out, we're gonna feed y'all, have a good time.
Yeah, make sure you pick up that Stalker on all platforms. Amazon, iTunes, Google, Spotify, whatever. What you got us on it, and of course iHeartRadio.
Yeah. So it's gonna be a collection of conversations, business book tour. We're going to talk about some things and give y'all some real great information. So I'm real excited about that. On the phone with us as we continue to keep it popping, we got friends of the show. We don't even call them guests no more. You know, once you come on, you're part of this here family. And they joining us to talk about that new film, The Isabella Brothers, coming to talk about Candy. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
All three out there?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's going on, brothers?
Tell them your names. Let them know who you are.
Yeah, this Jeremy Isabel, David Isabel, and Duran Isabel right here, too.
What's going on, fellas, man? Long time.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time since we came up to the station and kicked it with you. But, we're back again, showing love. We're here to get it done. Always supporting, man. We appreciate y'all for real.
No doubt. We digging out, doing y'all thing. Being black filmmakers, we definitely got to support that all day. And I was feeling the last film, man. Tell them a little bit about that before we get into this new one, because that one was banging. You know, I love how y'all took the Christianity beliefs, stories, and turned them into like an everyday, just a regular look. It was real dope, yo. Tell them a little about that.
Okay, it's our last project. The Last Disciples.
Yeah.
It was a film that was basically it was a gritty urban drama,
mm-hmm.
that basically we took principles and we took stories in the Bible,
right.
and actually turned it into like an urban drama, so to allow people to be able to relate to contemporary times of today and see that it's no different than it was back then. So had a chance to do that. It's actually got like over half a million views on YouTube. If listeners out there want to go check it out, just look at The Last Disciples by the Isabel Brothers on YouTube. Check it out.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
Well, I never met you guys, so I need some info. How did you as brothers end up doing films together? How is that going on? And who's the oldest and who's the youngest?
Okay, but Duran is the oldest. David, I'm the middle child.
Okay.
And Jeremy, he the baby.
Okay.
And doing film, my older brother Duran, he kind of quiet. So he was always like an introvert and kind of to himself.
Hmm.
So he stayed in the house a lot, just working on different projects and like using us as like guinea pigs. So, you know, it kind of started off that way. And then we just, we all kind of found the love and just the art, period. All of us have our different strengths and weaknesses. But we just enjoyed the arts and actually, we come from a family of storytellers and like Native Americans, and it's all about the oratory skills and being able to hold the audience's attention and be able to tell great stories. So we just kind of inherited that, through the grace of God, and just trying to make a difference out here in the world. You know, be able to put out content that Black people and our youth can be able to grasp and hold on to, and not just call it our own, but also be able to learn something from it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Very nice. So what do you think you guys bring to the table that other directors may not?
I think at Isabel Brothers Studios, our three main genres are urban, historical, and spiritual.
Yeah.
So I think just that dynamic kind of, it's a reflection of how our influences were growing up. We grew up, you know, in an urban environment, but we also had a, you know, spiritual mom and, and dad and family. And we also were made aware of the historical significances of African Americans and people of color, you know, in the great nation. So I think what makes us different is the fact that we're unafraid to actually be a positive, you know, a positive force, to be a positive light, and to tell people, you know, you can be spiritual, you know, you can be from the urban community, and you can still be positive at the same time. I think with the passing of Nipsey Hussle, we got a chance to see finally somebody highlighted who embodied both, you know, who embodied the struggle, but also embodied the future and embodied the liberation. Mm-hmm. So we bring that element to our work, and we try to make something that's going to be competitive, but also something that's going to be, you know, touching as well. And so, you know, the proof is in the pudding.
And it definitely is. Your work definitely reflects all what you just stated. And my question is, what was the inspiration for drew you guys to wanting to do films?
I would say, this is Jeremy speaking, I would say the inspiration is just coming from creativity. I think it was something that we all were born with. Mm. And, you know, we did sports. We played on a collegiate level. We played all the SEC teams. We played some of the D1 teams. But it's all about being competitive, being creative. Mm-hmm. So we kind of channeled all of our energies towards something that we love, which is creating content, creating visuals. So I think that's like the number one drive that we all can relate to.
Yeah, and like to piggyback off what Jeremy said, it's something that we all have a common denominator with media and visuals. And it just so happened, you know, God's timing, that media has become, you know, the go-to source, not only for information, but just the way we communicate, you know, with touchscreen, you know, phones. You know, media has become, you know, the go-to tool to get, you know, to communicate out here in the world. So we couldn't plan that. That's just God's timing, you know. So we just happened to be right on time with history.
Indeed, indeed. So now you guys got a new project out. One, mind you, that I cast it for and was supposed to be in. I want to know what happened with that, yo. I got beef. What happened? But tell them about that film.
Like I told you, Jeff, you know, we really planned on, and not just you, but, you know, we really wanted to get you in there because you've been with us from day one looking out. We definitely wanted to get you in the film. But as you know, we are from Huntsville, Alabama. And we had casting calls in Huntsville and Atlanta. So we were traveling back and forth. We shot this whole film within 4 weeks. So a lot of scenes that we originally had in the script had kind of got shaved out because of time constraints and just scheduling conflicts. So your role was actually like a real dope role.
Just rub it in.
we commend you for even being a part of the Black Panther film. So we definitely wanted to get a piece of that and show love towards you. But it was one that we couldn't hold forth. And so that was kind of the reason some of the stuff got shaved out. But, you know, we apologize. And
nah, you good. Just holler at me for that next one. Just holler at me for the next one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But tell them about Candy. Let them know about that Candy joint.
Yeah, man, Candy is an edgy film. It's based around a young girl who's trying to find her way in life. She's kind of rebelling against her her father, which is the one person who is on her side, and she's doing these different jobs, trying to basically prove herself in the streets and in the world that, you know, she can do it on her own, and it's really not in her best interest. Nothing she's doing is. Nobody she's hanging with is in her best interest, but, you know, that's just the struggle with some of our youth that we have now. You know, they kind of like how we were, you know, didn't want to listen to the old heads, but, you know, trying to follow the new wave. So we're just putting that on a big screen. So
hopefully someone younger can say, hey, like, I've been through that, or when they are faced with that situation, they're like, okay, I've seen that before, and they can learn from it and kind of detour from that direction.
So I wanted to know, as far as you guys, as three of you that are doing the directing, what does each one bring different as far as, like, how you film?
Okay. Like I said, in the beginning, you know, it's always been us three. You know, Duran's always, you know, he's the oldest, so he picked up the camera first. And by the time I came along, I was just like, you know, like, that's my big brother. So, like, you know, whatever he was playing with, that's what I was playing with. So, you know, and by the time Jeremy came along, it was just like a family affair. So, you know, we learned very early, you know, it was instilled in us to always stick together and always have each other's back. So it started from a family essence. And we always just stuck to the formula. So for us, we've been doing it together so long, and it just seems like it's effortless now. So, Duran has always been technical, behind a lot of different programs in electronics. You know, Jeremy's always been the kind of person who could give you advice and give you a perspective that could really shift the whole dynamic of what you're working on. A lot of times, because me and Duran are close in age, we get into, you know, debates and heated, you know, debates and arguments even. And Jeremy's always there to kind of offer that perspective that a lot of times we're too strong-minded to see. And we really value that. Like, you learn how to value things once you work together and see something like The Last Disciples, you know, do so well and touch so many people. Mm-hmm. You'd be a fool to go away from that formula. Mm-hmm. And so many times out here in the industry, we see people go away from formulas that, you know, that work for them, mm-hmm. because of, you know, pressures or money. And we just was always instilled just like stick together and stick to the formula if it's working, and, you know, keep the positivity first. So me, I do a lot of set design. I do a lot of coaching. I'm not a trained acting coach, but I've coached just about everybody who's been on screen, because I know what we want.
Right.
I know what we're going for. And my strength is, I'm an extrovert. My strength is just jumping in their head first. And a lot of times it may be the unpopular thing to do, but I'm willing to do it, you know, because I believe in the vision, and I believe in the purpose and the essence of what we're doing. And Jeremy does a lot of, you know, he's been in contact with y'all. Like, we haven't been in contact. Like, Jeremy's been doing the contact, and so he does a great job with the logistics, handling that, handling scheduling, handling, you know, he's just more of a people person than me. Like, people, he can get on the phone. I can't get on the phone. You know, I don't know if it's the way I talk or what, but that's his God-given strength that I always has been. I guess he get it from my mother, but we're going to stick with that, and, like, we're going to roll with that. So it's just a challenge for us. Like, we don't want to ever give off the illusion that we have it all together, because it's always a work in progress to continue to work and grow and have to go through those growing pains. Mm-hmm. So this film, Candy, was a huge testament for us, because it pushed us beyond our limits. It's our best project yet, mm-hmm. but it also called for growing pains, not just artistically, but also business-wise.
Okay.
Like I said, it's just us three. So all the funding that we put up, we all put up money for, you know what I'm saying, for the project, to promote. We all, you know, to travel, to fly people in, you know, to put food up, you know what I'm saying? I didn't do barbecues, you know, for cast members, just trying to, you know, make it work.
Right.
You know, so it's a team effort, and it always will be.
Indeed.
That's wonderful.
And you guys are having a show in here in Atlanta tomorrow. Tell them where they can come check that out.
Yeah, so we're going to be the red carpet starts at 6:00. The showing is at 7:00. You can still buy tickets now on eventbrite.com. All of the VIP tickets are sold out in Atlanta. So we got regular tickets still for sale. It's at the Plaza Theater off Pence, I think. That's how you pronounce it, off Pence. We're going to be there. It's going to be a red carpet event. It's going to be a lot of people, a lot of positive energy. You know, we're going to be in the mix. Shout out to Robbie World. He's been supporting us today. Yeah, we got, just to run down some of the main characters in the film, we got Lucinda Cross. She does a lot of public speaking. She's okay. You know, sister.
Okay.
She was on Sister Circle. Mm-hmm. You know, she's on there regularly. We got King David. He's from L.A. or born from Detroit, but He lives in L.A. now. Hopefully, he's going to be in that new BMF film, the 50 Cent is throwing on. Okay. He's been working very hard on that. We got Marcia Adams. She's running around doing her thing in Atlanta with acting. We got Chelsea, who's playing the main character, Candace Williams, in the film. So, you know, we got a lot of people in the film who believe in us. We believe in them. So we're just excited to see everybody come out and see how everybody responds to the film. Mm-hmm. And one thing with this film, like Jeremy said, Candy was based in Atlanta, kind of a romanticized or a fantasy version of Atlanta. us being from Alabama, Atlanta was always kind of like, you know, it's kind of like that place. It's kind of like the Mecca, you know, as far as, you know, entertainment in the southeast region. So, you know, growing up kind of, you know, next door, it was always kind of something that was kind of a fantasy for a lot of people, like, you know, in the surrounding areas. So we actually wanted to do, you know, justice with that. So we came here and shot it. And we like Jeremy said, we had a casting call here in Atlanta and had people come out locally. Bella Sosa is a local artist here that people know. And we got a lot of people from Atlanta who came out and turned out, you know, for us. So we've really been trying to, you know, push this collaboration thing with between the two states and just, you know, continue to work and, like, empower each other. That's what it's all about.
Giving them social media handles so they know where to find you guys.
You can find our production page on Instagram at Isabel Boys. That's Isabel Boys, IsabelleBoys on Instagram. So you can go there to find all our content, what's coming up next, next scripts, next casting calls, live footage, everything.
That's what's up. Hey, man, it's definitely been an honor and a pleasure, and I wish you guys continued success, and yes. I will be seeing you tomorrow.
Yes. Listen. Oh, yeah, we'll see you. Y'all come out. We'll put y'all on the list. Y'all just come out.
All right. No doubt. Thank you.
All right.
Thank y'all. Y'all take it easy.
No doubt. Right. Bigger than hip-hop, baby. We so glad to definitely sit down with the Isabella brothers. Y'all definitely want to check out that Candy film. It's looking like it's going to be popping.
Yes, yes.
And we want to thank y'all for tuning in. You got anything you want to say before we leave, Miss Lady?
You know, we're about to go check out the Battle for the Crown, the all-female Battle for the Crown out in East Side, Atlanta, tonight. Also, shout out to Goldie. It's your birthday, Taurus season.
Shout out, Sheila.
Yours coming up soon. All the Tauruses, Nikki Turner, all my girls out there. Thank you, everybody that came in. Mr. Sappho, thank you for leaving us with your book, When Black Boys Are Left in the Dark. Make sure you check him out. And, make sure you come see. If you're in the Atlanta area, check out Mr. Hodges with the book business tour.
May 11th. It's going down.
Dish Out Lounge. East Side is popping. East Atlanta. That's where we going.
Until next time, family. Peace and love.
Peace.
Peace.
This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out. But sex was on my mind for the whole damn route. My mind was in a frenzy in a horny state. But I couldn't drop dimes because you couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl. Be set.
You couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl. Be set.
You couldn't relate.
Relax yourself, girl. Be set.
Out your legs, let me make you fall. Drive you insane, drive you up the wall. Staring at your nose, he's very strong.
This is love, family.
You are listening to It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio.
And this is presented like a jewel.
Enriching, encouraging, and engaging our youth. Here on iHeart Radio. With influential guests such as Susan Taylor.
We're a community in crisis, and we have to step up. We have to stand up, we have to speak up, we have to work together.
Jasiri X.
And then because we have Facebook and Twitter and we're able to share this information, the information is getting out there more.
Dr. Julia Hare.
Because we live in a racist society and you can get arrested, black boys, for walking while black,
thinking while black, driving while black, and anything you're doing while black.
Dick Gregory.
I can go and tell you why this program you have is so beautiful. That one, truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance. Exactly. But ignorance will never validate truth.
This is It's Bigger Than Hip Hop Radio. Tune in every Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern on www.eam1100 on iHeartRadio.
We hear now.
1100atlanta.com.
And so again, I said, you know, what you doing is very important. And a lot of times when you do shows like this, you must have people listen. Get a tape recorder. Or make the tape available.
Hit us up on the hotline at 404-603-8770.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.